Welcome to Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, the show where you get the inside access to the best minds in the game. Each week, Chris has the privilege of chatting with top instructors, legendary players, course architects, and industry insiders. If you're looking to improve your game, gain a new perspective, or just hear some incredible golf stories, you are indeed in the right place.
You see, Chris, let me tell you something. I haven't spoken to a press man in my life that is knowledgeable, seriously, as you are. Never.
You do such a great job. It kind of makes me feel good all of a sudden.
You do so much for the game. You're so kind to all of us that are out there in the game. You know, we need more people like you in the game of golf.
Thank you for pressing play. Now, grab your clubs, step up to the tee, and let's get started. This is Next on the Tee.
Hi, folks, and welcome into this edition of Next on the Tee, where golf legends live and your game gets better. I'm your host, Chris Mascaro, and I'm so happy that you're here with me and you decided to press play on this week's show. Because over the next hour or so, you're going to get to hear from two really wonderful people who have done and continue to do great things in our game and raise your enjoyment of it. First up is going to be John Cook. Cookie has been a wonderful friend of the show and a star on it for several years now. You'll hear all about his career details in his intro shortly. But it's hard to top a career that includes winning the U.S. Amateur in 1978, nearly repeating in 79, winning a national championship along with his Ohio State teammates as well in 1979, winning 21 times between the PGA and Champions Tour, including a couple of national opens in Canada and Mexico, winning Comeback Player of the Year in 1992. So you got all of that. So Cookie, as you know, was a tremendous player, and then he transformed himself into being a great broadcaster. So we start out our conversation talking a little Ohio State football, got to slip in a little football talk, and how we both think that the Steelers' next franchise quarterback is already on their roster. Then we pivot to my surprise that a guy that who played on 5 Ryder Cup teams and works for the Golf Channel and NBC didn't get a microphone to broadcast this year's Ryder Cup event. How's that possible? How does John Cook, a 5-time Ryder Cupper, not become part of their broadcast team? We talk about that. We share our excitement that the Skins game is returning this year on the Friday after Thanksgiving. And then we wrap up our time discussing one of the things that drives me nuts. And that's how some golf fans believe that this generation of players is way better than the players from John's era and prior to that. And I certainly agree that the funnel of talent right now is as large as it's ever been. But when you narrow that funnel down to the top 100 players, the legends from the 70s and the 80s would likely take this generation to school, in my opinion. We'll hear what John thinks when he joins me here in just a few minutes. Following him is one of the most talented ladies in the world of fitness, who also happens to be TPI, Titleist Performance Institute, Level 3 trained, plus has her fitness certification from Golf Digest. And who is that? Well, it's Courtney Weber. I was wowed by Courtney when Rob Strano introduced us at the PGA Merchandise Show a couple of years ago. And if you're like me and looking to get into better shape, lose some weight, feel better about yourself, this segment's for you. Courtney gives us some exercises to do for those of us who hate leg day. God knows, no one hates it more than I do. I get selfish and ask her about an article that she wrote not all that long ago about how to improve ankle mobility. She gives us some stretches to do for lower back pain and stiffness, plus how we can get rid of that dad bod, and then start our days with a heaping helping of vitamin G. Gratitude. So folks, a couple of great ones on this episode. I know you're going to enjoy it. So thank you so much for pressing play and being a part of this week's show. All right, but before we continue and get into the rest of the show, I want to start off by giving a shout out to my great friends over at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. TribLive.com is the leading news website for Western Pennsylvania with news around the clock. Pittsburgh pro sports coverage, a high school sports network, a podcast network, which you can find Next on the Tee on. So go out and bookmark TribLive.com or download the TribLive app for free and stay up to date with all the news in Western Pennsylvania and this show. I also want to talk about our friends over at the Pittsburgh Brewing Company and Iron City Beer, a brand that I have loved my whole life and started drinking when I was 21 years old, of course. Whether you're a hacker or a scratcher, the secret to a successful day on the links is knowing when it's time to grab an iron, even if that means keeping it in the bag till the 19th hole. If it's been a while since you've reached for Pittsburgh staple beer, it's time to revisit Iron City. thanks to their incredible new facility in Creighton, the best-tasting Iron City beer ever made is now available at a course near you. Iron City pairs well with any lye and sky and serves as a friendly reminder that there's always next round. Iron City beer, best enjoyed while enjoying life. And this year, get ready to experience a game like never before at the Keep, the brand new Bill Bergen and Reese Jones co-designed course at Macklemore. Nestled high atop Lookout Mountain, the Keep offers breathtaking vistas that are made even more spectacular as the autumn colors paint the landscape in rich hues of red, orange, and gold. With its challenging layout and awe-inspiring views, every round here is an unforgettable adventure. Whether you're taking on the signature holes or just soaking in the scenery, the Keep is where your best golf meets nature's finest backdrop. So grab your clubs and join us up at Macklemore. The Keep is open and it's waiting for you. All right, now back in Next on the Tee with me is a guy who is an all-timer on the course, in the broadcast booth, and in life, and that is John Cook. Let me remind you a little bit about Cookie's background. Played his college golf at Ohio State, where he was a three-time All-American, and helped them win three consecutive Big Ten titles from 1977 to 1979, and the 1979 National Championship. John won six individual titles during his college career. He also won the Les Bostad Award for the lowest stroke average in the conference each year from 1977 to 1979. And he was inducted into the Ohio State Hall of Fame in 1986. John won the U.S. Amateur Championship in 1978 and finished second to Marco Mira in 79. He won several amateur titles over the course of his amateur career, including the California State Am in 1975 and the Ohio Am in 1978 and 79. He would later turn pro in the 79 year, got his first win on tour in 1981 at the Bing Crosby National Pro-Am. He won again in 1983 at the Canadian Open, beating Johnny Miller in a playoff. John has seven top 10 finishes in majors. He was named the 1992 PGA Tour Comeback Player of the Year. He won the 1996 FedEx St. Jude Classic and broke the lowest 54-hole record in doing so by shooting rounds of 64, 62, 63. In 2013, he was inducted into the Southern California Golf Association's Hall of Fame. He won 21 times between the PGA and Champions Tours, and I'm so excited. I get to spend some more time with him this week right here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Cookie, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Chris. I'm glad you remember all that stuff. It takes me way, way back there, 1975, Cal Am. That's the great Pebble Beach. I won my first significant event of my life, and then I won the last significant event in 2014 at Pebble Beach. So Pebble Beach, very, very near and dear to our heart.
Yeah, no doubt. Nice bookend for you. All right, so before we get into all the golf talk, I got to start with some football stuff, and your Ohio State Buckeyes are right back ranked number one in college football. Indiana, which is shocking to me, is right there on the heels. You guys don't play each other in the regular season, could wind up in the Big Ten championship game. The team up north is 5-2 and perhaps not the same as they've been over the last few years. And Penn State is clearly not the same team that everyone thought they were. They're grossly overrated coming into this year. But how are you feeling about your Buckeyes' chances to repeat as national champions?
You know, it's interesting. I thought they would be young, extremely talented. Even the new kind of newcomers to the starting lineup. You know, they got to play a little bit last year on a national championship team, but not all of them. So it's a little surprising on the one hand, but there's so much talent there, Chris, that, you know, the big question mark, of course, was Julian Sain or Lincoln Kindholz, you know, who was going to start at quarterback. They made the wise decision, although Lincoln Kindholz he could start for anybody else in the country. I promise you, the kid is really good as well. But I'm pleasantly surprised, a little bit optimistic, but cautiously optimistic. There's a lot of talent on that team. There's a lot of depth on that team. You're always due for a little stumble here and there. And, you know, like you said, Penn State overrated. We do have them in a couple weeks. Indiana, we do not play in the regular season, perhaps later on. But then, you know, the real game is that game from that team up north. And, you know, that's Thanksgiving weekend. And we know it can happen to throw away the records in that game.
And last year was humiliating. It was deflating. It was probably the lowest, you know, the program maybe had ever been. After that game and how they were able to, you know, come together and make a historic 4-game run. But this year, you know, I'm optimistic. They're just growing and they're very young still. And so they're just, you know, Ryan Day's amazing. Yeah, he just gets them up for every single game. And they're ready to go, really, at kickoff. They are ready to go.
When you joined me back in January, we talked about then how my Steelers were looking for a quarterback, and you told me they should draft Will Howard, and lo and behold, they went out and did it. And the guy has come in and done and said everything you would want a future franchise quarterback to do and say. And for me, in the immortal words of Terrell Owens, that's my quarterback. I love this kid. But he's got that 6th round draft pick kind of branded on him. Some people are, you know, saying, well, you know, he was drafted in the 6th round for a reason. Some people talk about his arm strength. Do you think he can actually be the Steelers' next franchise quarterback?
Well, I do. I mean, I saw enough of Will Howard last year on how he led the Ohio State team to the championship, and what he did in that playoff run was amazing. I mean, they beat 4, you know, top 5 teams, basically. Tennessee was maybe 7th or 8th, but there really was no contest except for the Texas game. So it just is interesting that, you know, Will, you know, dropped into that 6th round. He's far more talented than that. And you know what? He's learning from one of the best of all time. He's sitting back there, and from what I understand, he is soaking in everything Aaron Rodgers has to throw at him. And Aaron Rodgers himself has said how impressed he is with Will Howard. So perhaps he will be. He's learning from one of the best of all time. Maybe he'll get in a game this year and show what his talents can bring. He's just going to learn right now. And I do see him. He's got the smarts. He's got size. He's got a better arm than people think. All he had to do was just throw the ball up in the air and just let one of those wide receivers just go up and grab it. I mean, he just an incredibly talented group of receivers he was throwing to. Plus he had Henderson in the backfield, Junkins in the backfield. He didn't have to do a whole lot, but I think, when the pressure's on and he needs to show something, we know what he can do.
Yeah. So that's where I've been, Cookie. I've been saying, you know, for the Steelers, and obviously the draft is next year in Pittsburgh, right? So they're going to want to make a splash and all of that sort of thing. But when I look at the quarterbacks around college football that were supposed to be, you know, the guys that maybe the Steelers would trade up for to go get a Drew Aller, Arch Manning, Carson Beck, those guys, I haven't seen anybody that has impressed me that says you need to trade up and get that kid. Has anyone impressed you?
Not really. Maybe the kid from Alabama, Simpson, I think is pretty good. They all have, you know, they're all interesting. Beck showed, some flaws in his game with, a Miami team that's very, very good, but maybe not the second ranked team in the country. And then, you know, the other ones, they're all good. But I don't know about this draft class. It's kind of potluck. I don't think there's one real standout in this going to be this quarterback draft. Like who's the Heisman front runner?
Yeah.
Well, it could be Julian Sain, honestly. I mean, has anybody had a better, year so far than Julian? Yeah, but he's a redshirt freshman. So he's not going to be going out for a little while.
Right.
So it's just a matter on like who separates himself, you know, kind of now it's the meat of the schedule. Now it comes down to the end of the year playoff run, league championship run. And who's going to be that guy that takes his team all the way to the end?
Yeah. And that's what I keep saying to folks on social media. I mean, to me, the Steelers already have a quarterback that won a national championship. Instead of going out and trying to find another one, go draft this kid, a top line wide receiver to match with DK Metcalf, and let's see what he can do.
No question. Exactly. And he's learning from one of the best. So he's just soaking, and he is so smart. Will Howard is a genius. He's an absolute genius. For him to go in with like no preparation, run a Chip Kelly offense, they pretty much scored at will, except for one game. They pretty much scored at will. And he's just a super smart kid, and he is just a wonderful human being. I think that's what they need. Where else are you going to find that in this year's draft?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. All right, let's talk some golf. And John, like every American, I was disappointed with a lot of what I saw and heard during the Ryder Cup, starting with what I didn't hear, which was your voice on the broadcast. How does a guy who was a five-time Ryder Cup team member not get a microphone to broadcast that event?
Well, I don't have an answer for you, Chris. I was disappointed. I was a little upset, I think, would be an understatement. NBC obviously is, you know, trying to go a different direction. That's a question for the powers that be there at NBC. I wish I had a role. It would have been anything. I could have done whatever they wanted me to do. I could have easily have done it. I was disappointed. I'm not going to lie. And I feel about it. I feel kind of hurt a little bit about it. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I felt like I was a little bit disrespected in that that arena. They had, you know, plenty of room for, you know, somebody else. And you know, they have such great talent around them. It wasn't like I was just some rookie and they just stuck me in there. I've been doing this now for 10 years. And I felt a little bit left out, to be quite honest. So the good news is we enjoyed a very nice week. my wife and I, and we met our Australian daughter, Courtney, and her little girl, Colette, our granddaughter in Hawaii, where we went and saw our son, Jason, who's working on the North Shore of Kauai at a new golf course called North Shore Preserve. So we enjoyed a nice few days on the North Shore of Kauai. And we would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and turn the Ryder Cup on and turn the volume off. But we watched the matches.
So there's a couple of things I want to unpack there, but kind of getting back to why you didn't get a microphone. And it feels like the networks want to go younger. They want to change. Peter Costas, Gary McCord were shown the door a couple of years ago. I don't understand it, Cookie, because what we're looking for is expertise. Guys that have been there, they know what it's like. They've been in those moments before. They know about hitting this shot or that shot. I don't get what going younger gets you. I mean, you want to put them in the some stylistic guy behind the desk. Okay, but I don't understand what that does for the broadcast. You guys, Chris, are the ones.
Yeah, I agree with you a bit there. They are trying to go younger, trying to go, you know, kind of, you know, more social media type of people. And, you know, then they say the older guys, you know, they don't know the young guy. Well, what do you need to know about them? I know about golf.
Right.
I can win golf tournaments and I can lose golf tournaments. I can tell you how to do both, or, you know, why I won and then why I lost. I can tell you that. I know what's going to happen. So I think this going younger, I think it's just an excuse, honestly, for, you know, hiring younger players that really don't have that type of winning experience. I like Jim Bones McKay. I like John Wood. I like Smiley Kaufman. But I think, you know, my experiences on the golf course and now behind the microphone, walking, understanding the game. Like I said, do you really need to know these players? I know how they play golf. I don't need to really know them. So really then I don't have that big a connection to them. So I can really call golf the way I see it. And it's just, you know, it's a little bit disheartening that maybe I didn't get that chance to move up into the, you know, the NBC role while I was with Golf Channel. But you know what? It is what it is. And I'm happy doing what I'm doing. I love the PGA Tour champions. It's exciting. It's great players that still have a lot of game. I enjoy the college events that I do, seeing the new up and coming young players and, you know, who might have a chance to move on to the professional level and contribute to their, maybe to the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup. So, you know, I enjoy what I do, and you know what, let bygones be bygones. And, you know, I'm living a happy life and living the dream. And I couldn't be you know, more happy with what I'm doing.
You can broadcast the college game, but they don't want you out there with the young guys on the PGA Tour.
It's a head scratcher. I know.
I think everything else that we heard at the Ryder Cup and saw from the fans was, in Chris's opinion, a complete disgrace and embarrassing cookie. How much of that was just plain terrible fan behavior? And does the media, do we play a part of this because we were kind of stoking the flames in advance of it because we wanted the New York fans to get under the skin of the European team? It just feels like it went way too far.
Yeah, it did. And I agree with you. I think Europe, they have a whole different mentality. They kind of accept that. It was a disgrace. There is absolutely no place in this game and in this world. It's like, what's wrong with people? Why do they have to do that? Personally abuse? When it gets to be personal, Chris, that's when I draw the line. Hey, I played on that Ryder Cup team in 93. My wife, my oldest daughter were there, friends, family, they were all there walking in the crowd. They heard what was going on, but it wasn't personal. They were just rooting for their people, and that's fine. But when it gets personal, that's when it becomes disgraceful. And what happened there at Bethpage, and I think on the one hand, it was stroked early. And it got them all riled up, you know, 2 years in advance. And so by the time that Ryder Cup, you know, teed off on that Friday morning, they were ripe and ready to go. And it didn't stop for, you know, 3 days. And I think they have to take a little bit of responsibility themselves as human beings. I think the media too needs to take a little bit of responsibility for, you know, fanning those flames early on in the week, in the year. I mean, the previous couple years. And you know what? Those fans lived up to their reputation. It was really disheartening. I hope that does not happen at Adair Manor. I know JP McManus very well. I promise you, it won't happen on his turf. He will not stand for it. He will have security. And, you know, he's the owner of the place, so he's not really running the Ryder Cup. But he's kind of running the Ryder Cup. And he can have people out there, and anybody gets too out of hand, they'll be shown the exit door in a hurry. So I think it'll be a little bit better there at Adair. It's an incredible place. I think people are going to go there and have to respect what JP has there at Adair Manor, respect what the Ryder Cup is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a rivalry. It's supposed to be uncomfortable at times. That's nothing wrong with that. It just cannot be personal.
So to your point, if he's going to have extra security and usher people out, does that need to be what we do? I mean, we know at Augusta National, that would never be allowed.
Oh, right?
Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So is that the standard that we have to set that, look, I mean, it's okay to root for your team, but when you get out of hand, you're going to be shown the door.
I'm sure that they're going to try to follow, you know, the Augusta National model, you know, maybe not to the exact T, but I would not blame JP and the powers that be for the 27 Ryder Cup to take a page out of Fred Ridley's book and the Augusta National. And, you know, how do we monitor this? We're going to let them go to a point, but it cannot cross the line. It can't even get close to that line. I bet they've got a major study going on how they're going to curtail all that.
One of the other disappointing things to me, John, was the leadership of the PGA of America not stepping in and trying to rein those things in. Did it disappoint you at all that they didn't come in during the event and really kind of shout that down, tell people this is, you know, we had this on Friday, Saturday and Sunday that we're not going to stand for this anymore. And the fact that they waited so long to send out any sort of apology statement was also a head scratcher.
Yeah, I think so too, Chris. I mean, they're the powers that be for the Ryder Cup. And, you know, they should have been ahead of this game. They knew it was coming and they should have been ahead of it. And to let it go on and act surprised that it went on, it should have been dealt with long before Friday morning came around. I think it's just you know, love the PGA of America, love every member. You know, that they're an incredible body of people, but they don't do that for a living. They don't run events like that big for a living, and they got exposed to it.
All right, so on to some happier topics. One thing that excited me about this fall is the return of the skins game after 16 years. We're getting it back and right where it was on the day after Thanksgiving. This year it's being played down on the course that Justin Thomas and Jack Nicklaus co-designed, Panther National, there in Palm Beach Gardens. So we'll get to see JT along with Keegan Bradley, Tommy Fleetwood, and Xander Schauffele as the participants. Are you happy to see this event come back?
I mean, who didn't wake up on Friday after Thanksgiving, after your food coma, and turn the television on and watch the skins game? You know,
right?
Jack, Arnold, Trevino, Watson. I mean, it just, you know, you throw Raymond Floyd in there every once in a while, Fuzzy Zeller in there. I mean, you just sat around, you watched football, and you watched the skins game. That was your Thanksgiving weekend. It's a treat. I know they brought it back for a little bit, and you still watched it. And I'm excited to, you know, get a chance perhaps to watch it. I would love to see Panther National down there in you know, in Florida, right there by the. They've got a bunch of golf courses being built right in that same area, so it's going to be incredible. But yeah, to bring back some history, you know, maybe, you know, the young players of today can understand, you know, why they're being able to play and do what they're doing for a living because of events like this that did bring another type of audience into our game. I think it's going to be great.
How is it you were never a part of the senior skins game, especially like in 08, 09, 2010, when you were running regularly out there on the Champions Tour and won a Charles Schwab Cup championship? How does John Cook not get in that field?
Oh, you know, I scratched that surface a bunch of times, I think, because I never clipped off a major or a senior major. Probably had something to do with it. But, you know, I had a really nice run, Chris, and I appreciate the thought. But I think that in that world, they wanted the guys that were winning the majors. Fred was just coming. He was just turning 50 kind of at the same time. And, you know, of course, it was Bernhard. And, I mean, you had, you know, Hall of Famers. So, hey, I'm okay with it. I certainly enjoyed all those years of the skins game. And like I said, I watched a lot of them. So it'll be fun to, you know, see, you know, how things show up again on television.
If Keegan Bradley goes out and wins the skins game, is it going to stoke the flames that he should have picked himself?
I don't know why he didn't, honestly.
Is that right?
You wanted the 12 best players. He certainly was one of the 12 best players. What more could he have done? Honestly, as a captain, once Friday morning goes off, I mean, what does the captain honestly really do except, you know, follow a match, give encouragement, make the pairings? I promise you, anybody can be a Monday morning quarterback, but I thought early on that he should have picked himself anyway. Would anybody have really been that upset?
No.
And you know, no, nobody. Nobody would have.
Yeah, and who knows better what a captain does after the Friday morning pairing go out than a guy that was in five of these things. You know exactly what they do.
Sure, absolutely. So he knows what to do. He had assistant captains. They can run the show. I mean, maybe he's not going to play every single session, but he would have played probably two or three.
Right.
And couldn't have done any worse, honestly, in the first 2 days. Now, Sunday was getting exciting.
Sunday was
coming down to a putt here, putt there. And that could have been an 11-3 afternoon. No doubt about it. Or
yes,
whatever they needed. It was, they could have easily have done that, but it's, you know, it was fun to watch. I feel bad for Keegan. I know he put his heart and soul into being the captain. It's not easy. And, you know, could he have done things maybe a little differently? Or could have the players themselves done things a little bit differently? Maybe prepared a little bit more at Bethpage, it sure sounded like the European players played as many golf holes as they possibly could on that golf course. That's what you do for a living. You play golf. You know, you don't really need to, you know, rest and be ready for the sessions. I want to know the golf course. And it just looked like the U.S. team, they didn't know where to pitch from. They didn't pitch the ball very well. The Europeans, they pitched, they putted, they answered shot upon shot, and they were really well prepared. I think that Luke Donald got that team prepared to play the golf course and not just the Ryder Cup. And I'm not so sure that the U.S. team was ready to play the golf course.
Yeah, how is that, John? I mean, for crying out loud, it's not like, you know, this was a surprise or something we just learned that they picked that course, you know, 6 months ago. I mean, we've known right. It was going to be there. Those guys have played Bethpage Black a bunch of times in majors over the years, and they certainly could have given themselves the opportunity. What it feels like to me, Cookie, is our guys look at the Ryder Cup as they're tired. It's the end of the year. All right, I guess I'll play. And the European team's excited to play. We're tired to play. They're excited to play.
Well, I think that the European team, they just play more golf. They play a lot of events. The U.S. team is great as they are, and they did play, most of them did play at Napa a couple of weeks before. So we give them credit for that they all did show up and at least get, you know, some tournament reps in. But I don't think they play enough golf, and they went, you know, to win golf tournaments. Seems like the European players, you know, they support the DP World Tour. They play a lot of events. The LIV guys are welcomed onto that tour to play some events. And they just looked like they were ready to go.
So let's take that last statement you made a little bit further, the LIV guys, right? It seems like the PGA Tour, and I get that the Ryder Cup is a PGA of America event, not a PGA Tour event, but those guys talk. I feel like the LIV guys, to your point, were welcomed onto the European team. And we didn't want to swallow our ego, because if Bryson DeChambeau didn't earn his way on there, they're not picking him. It's like the tour and the PGA America got an ego. We're not going to let those LIV guys in here. You know, they hurt us, but Europeans don't look at it that way.
Want the 12 best players to represent the United States. Want the 12 best. I don't care where they're playing, who they are, how old they are. Want the 12 best players. Perhaps they could have picked Patrick Reed. He did. He played, you know, pretty nice. Brooks Koepka didn't really have a very good season, major championship wise. I get that. DJ kind of the same way. Patrick Reed perhaps could have been one of those antagonizers, those irritators that the European team seems to have three or four of those guys. You need one of those guys or a couple of those guys on your team. And, you know, JT tries to be that guy. Patrick Reed can certainly be that guy. And you know what? You're not going to lose much if you pick Patrick Reed on that team. But, you know, come Ryder Cup, come Presidents, well, Presidents Cup is PGA Tour, but come Ryder Cup, you got to have your 12 best players. Keegan certainly could have picked himself. Patrick Reed would have been a controversial pick. But you know what? I promise you, he's nasty enough that he would have found his game and been ready to go. So maybe at some point they're going to have to revisit that down the stretch.
The thing that has also come up in the wake of all of this is maybe we need to pick a captain from outside the game, a Nick Saban, a Coach K, a motivator, instead of somebody who is, you know, the players' pals. We kind of alluded to that earlier. Do you need to know the players? Do we need to go that route? Is that something we should consider at least?
Maybe. I know my captain was Tom Watson, and his assistant captain was his coach, Stan Thirsk.
Wow. So,
yeah, and that was his only guy. He didn't have a team of captains, or he didn't have, you know, some of the good old boys. He picked the good old boys to go play. That's what he did. And so, you know, he picked Raymond Floyd, and he picked Lanny Watkins. Those were his two picks. And they were, you know, both – well, Raymond was 50 already. And Lanny was, you know, kind of up there as well. He was going to be the Ryder Cup captain a couple years later. But maybe you do have to go outside the box a little bit, or hire somebody and have them just be the guy for a while. Europe kind of did that They had the same captain for a number of years in a row. They kind of got things turned over, and they got the same guys kind of in and part of the system. I know that Luke Donald's assistant captains were part of the system and had been for a long time. Jose Maria Olazabal, Thomas Bjorn. They play the Champions Tour, and they're in their 50s. So they were part of that team, and they were a big part of that team. So why do you have to go, you know, the same young guys all the time and the same, you know, that same kind of crew? You got to figure out a way. I don't know what the best way is, but, you know, that's not a bad idea.
Well, to that point, Cookie, what I feel like could end up happening, you mentioned, you know, you go all the way back to Tony Jacklin, right? He was the captain for a while. I mean, Luke Donald essentially ran the same team back minus one guy.
Same team.
Right?
Yeah. The guy that didn't play this year, his twin brother played, who's the same guy as that guy. So, right. So he had the same team the next time.
Could we see the same team? If I'm the Europeans, I'm like, I'm going to run back as many of these guys. I mean, again, guys earn their way into the top, but I would try to run it back with the same guys as much as possible. It's sort of like, hey, look, we're going to keep running this play until you show me you can beat it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, they've got some stuff to figure out. There's no doubt about it. You know, who will be the next captain over in Ireland? And, you know, it'll be interesting on, you know, what transpires in the next couple of years.
Cookie, one more before I let you go. And I can't tell you how many times I get into deep debates with people, particularly out on social media, when the topic comes up about comparing players from different eras. And I know that's really hard to do, particularly in golf, because the equipment has changed so much. But when I talk about, when you look how great that Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, and Sam Snead were, or Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Gary Player, Tom Watson were, or you and Seve and Faldo and Nick Price and Freddie and O'Meara and Crenshaw were, right? When you look at all of those players and how great they were, when you compare it to this era, people always tell me, wow, you know, this era would wax any other era. Those guys won so much because they were playing electricians and plumbers. The top 100 isn't nearly as good as the top 100 now. And I say, I debunk all of that because, I mean, look, I'll grant this era that the funnel is probably larger. There are more players. There are probably more good players, prepared players. But once that funnel starts to narrow and you get to the top 100 or the top 50 and look it back at those era players, I'm saying guys from the 70s and 80s, to me, were much better than the top 50 or 100 now. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. And I say that there's a vast amount of talent out there. The quantity of talent is incredible. The quality isn't any better. We're playing against Hall of Famers all the time. Jack had to beat, you mentioned it, had to beat Arnold, had to beat Hogan, had to beat Arnold, had to beat, you know, Raymond Floyd, Gary Player. Tom Watson into the 70s. I mean, he beat Hall of Famers. How many Hall of Famers are there out there right now? I mean, Scottie Scheffler is far and away the guy, and nobody's really going to beat him in four rounds of golf. You might beat him in one, but you're not going to beat him in four. I feel like the eras, the quality of play was the same, or maybe even a little bit better. The quantity, as you go down the list, down to the top 100 who get to keep their tour card, you tell me there's 100 players, only 100 players on the planet that are capable of playing the PGA Tour. But, you know, that's a topic for another hour of discussion. But I think that the quality is about the same, but the quantity is probably deeper now. But I promise you, you put Raymond Floyd, you put Gary Player, you put Seve, you put Faldo, you put Nick Price, you put, you know, Mark O'Meara, you put any number of those guys into the, you know, 2000s and up to this day, they meet the challenge. Absolutely. Nobody ever backed down on Sunday. You might get beat, but you didn't really give many away. And it just seems like a lot of players, if Scottie Scheffler's near the lead, well, you can just give it to him. And that wasn't really the case, you know, back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Cookie, before I let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with you, whether they're doing it on TV or on social media.
Yeah, I'm doing the PGA Tour Champions for Golf Channel and PGA Tour Entertainment. So you can find me doing all the champs events. I'm going to be doing the East Lake Cup next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday after the Simmons Bank Championship in Little Rock, PGA Tour Champions playoff event. Then I'll be doing the Charles Schwab Cup there at Phoenix Country Club. And social media, you got John Cook Golf on X, and John Cook OSU on Instagram. So follow me there, or send me some questions, or just listen to PGA Tour Champions. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Yes, it is. Cookie, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back and be a part of the show. You know you're one of my all-time favorites. I can't thank you enough for everything you've meant to me over the years.
Anytime, Chris. I so enjoy doing it. You're so prepared and so great at what you do. I really appreciate it. It is my pleasure to help you out.
I appreciate that very much. Take care, Cookie. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up again soon.
Cheers, bud. Thank you very much.
See you, John. That's the great John Cook, folks. Again, at John Cook Golf on Twitter, at John Cook OSU on Instagram. I mean, look, as I said at the beginning in his intro, he is an all-timer in every aspect, on the course, on the microphone, and just as a human being in life. One of my absolute favorite people to talk to because, A, nobody knows more than him. And again, it's a head-scratcher. Why in the world this guy doesn't get a microphone to do the Ryder Cup and some of these other events that I think that you couldn't find anyone better on the planet to do than John Cook. So how that happened, I don't know. But when you look at his career, 21 times a winner between the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour. On top of that, he won the Amateur Championship back in the day and just, you know, came in second the next year. So 78, 79 in the amateur world, John Cook was the guy. And then on top of that, he won a Natty there at Ohio State, and just his insights, his knowledge, and just his overall personality is just top notch. Again, should be on the microphone for all the major events, in my opinion. I can't thank Cookie enough for everything he's meant to me over the years. This was the 11th time I've got to spend some time with him, and I'm already looking forward to when we make it an even dozen. Coming up next is one of the most talented ladies on the planet in the world of fitness, and that is Courtney Weber. She's going to help you eat right, feel better about yourself, look better on top of all of that, and play better golf as a result of all three of those previous things. So I'm excited to have her back as part of the show. Before I get to her, I want to remind you about our friends over at On Point Golf and their out of this world On Point Golf Ball Marker. And if you don't have one, folks, you really need to go check it out at onpointgolf.us. Get the number one ball marker in the game of golf. On Point is the only three-dimensional ball marker out there. With alignment technology and a removable coin that is approved to use according to the rules of golf. As you know, putting is all about line and pace. Mark your ball with OnPoint, engage with your three-dimensional ball marker, and have more confidence in your line, execute the putt, and you're going to lower your scores. Do what the likes of Jim Furyk, PGA professionals, and amateurs alike are doing now. They use the number one ball marker in golf and they lower their scores. You know Ken Duke and Thongchai JD. They won for the first time on the PGA Tour in 2023, and they were using an OnPoint ball marker. Get yours at onpointgolf.us and make more putts. And oh, by the way, you can also customize the removable coin for any club, event, or corporate outing. They make really great tee gifts and custom products. That's also going to help lower your score. I use OnPoint ball markers. Mine is black and gold, 3D black golf ball with a gold line down the middle to help me line up my putts. It's like having a 15th club in my bag. It's helped my game. Why wouldn't you let it help yours? Again, onpointgolf.us. See what I'm talking about. Order yours today. I also want to remind you about our wonderful friends over at Squares Golf.
So Nick here. What if there was a golf shoe embraced by hundreds of thousands of golfers, celebrated for its stability, comfort, and distance? What if this shoe earned the title of most technologically advanced golf shoe by Sports Illustrated? And what if the company behind that shoe spent the last year perfecting a brand new category of golf footwear? Well, the what if is here. Introducing the all-new Pro S 2LT by Squares, a new class all of its own, the perfect blend of lightweight comfort and stable performance. You'll notice the difference. Change your shoes, change your game. Squares.
Also, a warm welcome to the Next on the Tee family, to our new friends over at Sunday Swagger. Look, folks, if you're tired of boring golf clothes, Sunday Swagger is changing the game with their boldest collaboration yet. Officially licensed Guinness apparel that brings iconic style to the golf course. Their premium polos, button-ups, and quarter zips feature four-way stretch and moisture-wicking fabric that moves with you. Whether you're crushing drives or raising a pint at the 19th hole, their fall collection blends Guinness's legendary heritage with Sunday Swagger's eye-catching designs, plus accessories like head covers, towels, and even custom beer sleeves to keep your beverages chilled while you're out on the golf course. With styles for men and women available online and in select stores, you're guaranteed to turn heads and spark conversation. Visit SundaySwagger.com and join the Sunday Club for exclusive drops and member benefits. Sunday Swagger, polos with personality. Now back to help us figure out how to get in better shape and be healthier, especially as we head into the holiday season, is Courtney Weber. Courtney has become a wonderful friend since I had the privilege of meeting her at the PGA Merchandise Show back in 2024. She can be found down at the Strano Golf Academy in Destin, Florida, along with our great friend Rob Strano. Courtney is a Level 3 Titleist Performance Institute fitness instructor. She also has her fitness certification from Golf Digest. Going back to her college days, she earned a double major in business management and speech communications while she was at North Central College in Naperville, Illinois. She was a certified personal trainer at the American Council on Exercise for 14 years. She's also a wife, a mom, and a heck of a motivator, and I couldn't be more excited. I get to spend some more time with her this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Courtney, how are you, my friend?
Great. Thank you, Chris, as always. It's so good to be here, and your introductions are just amazing. So thank you for that.
So, Courtney, catch us up. How are things going down at the new Strano Golf Academy?
They're great. As you know, Rob has a new space, really fancy, lots of really cool technology, and I have a little more space to train, which is always a good thing. But I always tell people I don't need much space, but I do have a little bit more, and it's been a lot of fun there. And he's rocking and rolling down there. So three hitting bays and the well putt, putting machine, that thing is really cool as well. So lots of good things happening there at Strano Golf.
So Courtney, for everyone who lives north of Florida, we're starting to get the colder temperatures. They're creeping their way in. Fall is definitely here. Winter's around the corner. So people are going to start transitioning more indoors for the wintertime. What are some things that we can do? Because we don't want our swings to get rusty. We also don't want our muscles to shrink up and get short. What can we do to kind of keep ourselves limber and ready so when spring does come back around, that we're going to be ready for it to get back out onto the golf course?
Well, if you want my professional response, it's obviously to get assessed by someone with a TPI certification. They're all over the country and the world. So you can go on the website and look for a professional. And what they'll do is they'll take you through some screens, and then they'll go ahead and they'll build you a program based on your needs. And like you said, this is the best time to start looking into, you know, strength training and moving your body as it gets colder and you're not swinging as much. So the off season, this is my favorite time of year. So I don't golf as much. So I love when it gets colder because the gym is busy and I get a lot more consistency with my golfers who aren't traveling here for a tournament or playing, you know, an extra, you know, 18 holes instead of coming to see me instead. So definitely find someone with that certification, get assessed, and then anything, you know, we talked about this before, anything that you can do where you're just moving your body and lifting some weights safely and obviously going through some mobility as well to make sure that you're moving efficiently in that golf swing.
On your Instagram page, and people can find you at Courtney_Weber, 1B in Weber, and then underscore at the end. So Courtney_Weber_, You recently posted a video with the title that makes me cringe, Cooler Temperature Means, and then there's you doing deadlifts. And you know how much I hate leg day. It's always leg day for me now, unfortunately, since I'm rehabbing this second ankle replacement surgery. I'm doing it, but I hate it as I do it. So for all of us that hate leg day, but we know it's the right thing for us, particularly now, because we hear all about ground forces and using your legs in the golf swing. And that's something that has never been in the past. And over the last probably 10 years, we've seen the movement towards having stronger, bigger legs in order to help us with our golf swing. Deadlifts. What else should I be doing? What else should all of us be doing to build up our legs?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, deadlifts get a bad reputation, and you know, unfortunately or fortunately, they are probably one of the most effective lower body exercises. I think the back of the legs and the glutes are so important in the golf swing. And, you know, over the age of 40, you start losing distance. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you don't do something about it and you do not strength train, you will lose distance on your golf swing. And, you know, I'll get people over the age of 40 and they'll come and they'll start a program, and 3-6 months later, they're like, I'm hitting the ball 20 yards farther than I have been. And it, for me, it makes sense. I'm like, well, yeah, duh, I told you that was going to happen. But yes, I love deadlifts. In that video, I am barefoot. You know, I have a lot of clients with walking. You know, they get those Hokas and, you know, those big inserts in their shoes. And, you know, a lot of times their balance is all over the place, and they don't, as I use the term, feel the deadlift. So I love deadlifts barefoot or in socks. So you're just kind of screwing your feet into the ground as you drive up from the ground and lift the barbell. Now, barbells are scary. So I always say start with a kettlebell or flip a dumbbell on its side and just go ahead and make sure you're hinging those hips back and then just pick up the kettlebell. I call it a kettlebell pickup. It's my very first exercise I do with every single client of mine. Like as soon as we go through the screens and I warm them up and I take them through a couple mobility exercises, the very first strength exercise I do with every single person is a deadlift, like the proper way to do a deadlift. So deadlift one, squats, lunges, any type of split squat. You'll also see me on my Instagram, Bulgarian split squats, where you lift your foot up on the bench and drop down into a lunge. But yes. Oh, they burn. But there's so many different variations. So if you're just starting, you don't even need to put weight in your hands. You can just put a pillow on the ground and drop your knee down to that pillow and stay in that static lunge, holding that lunge position, drop that knee down to the pillow and lift back up. And that's a perfect place to start as well. So step up. I mean, the list goes on, but if you start with deadlifts and squats and you just go out and you do those two exercises one day a week, you're going to see some benefit in the golf game, in your legs. You know, obviously building muscle does so much for your metabolism, the way you feel, confidence. You know, I'm not gonna lie, I used to work out because yeah, it makes you look, you know, you feel good, but I'll find myself like in a funk, like sitting down at my computer trying to work on something, and that fog just like comes over me. And if I go for a walk, or if I go into the weight room, I have a gym out in my garage, and I go out there for 10 minutes and just lift two exercises, all of a sudden my brain, just that brain power and that blood flow is just amazing. That I wish more and more people would realize that yes, looking good is why most people get into the gym, but the benefits of strength training, not just with your golf swing, but you know, I feel like I'm a better human. There's days where my husband will be like, you need to go work out. And I'm like, you're right. I do. And I come back better than ever. So it's just such a great, like, reduces stress, builds muscle. And then, like I said, you get to hustle your friends on the golf course, which is always my favorite. You know, anybody over the age of 40, those are my favorite golfers, because they just get so excited and they really get invested and they stop worrying about weight loss and things like that. They really look at, hey, if I stick with this for 90 days, I'll start hitting the ball. And then they'll come to me and be like, hey, I lost 20 pounds too. And I'm like, well, yeah, that comes with it as well. So it's, you know, I kind of rambled on about, you know, leg exercises, but ultimately any type of exercise you can do will be amazing.
You've got a 6-week training program coming up. Let everyone know how we can sign up and what we're going to learn when we do.
Yeah. So I started a, so I have two variations. I have one for golfers. And then, you know, I've also been working with women because I am a woman over the age of 40 now. So, you know, and a busy mom and, you know, trying to work and, you know, life gets so hectic. So I have 2 6-week programs geared for golfers and also for just women with those busy, crazy, hectic schedules. And with it just come very, very simple workouts. Most of my workouts probably last about 20 to 30 minutes. And, you know, lifting 3 to 4 days a week, but a lot of motivation and encouragement comes from it as well. You know, guiding you in food and what to eat as far as where your protein number should be, where your fiber number should be. And then, you know, we even dive a little bit deeper, you know, wellness is so much more than exercise. As you know, I'm recovering from ankle surgery, your mindset and, you know, listening to something positive every day and being grateful and all these other things that incorporate the overall wellness. It's not just exercise. And that's something that you will see in the 6 weeks. It's like the whole big picture of our, you know, is the mind right? Which, you know, in golf is very important, but it's also very important in life. Are you focused on what you're eating? Not necessarily a specific meal plan, but just being intentional about what you put in your body. And then, as I mentioned before, you strength training. And it doesn't take much. Go outside, do 2 or 3 exercises, and watch what happens for just 20 minutes. That's what I always tell my clients. Just give me 20 minutes and you will be amazed by what happens. Yes, professional golfers need a little bit longer and need a lot more specific exercises for what they're trying to work on, but they're professionals. You know, 90% of the people probably listening or that come to me or that really need help, they just need to move their body. And that's what you'll get in those 6 weeks.
You wrote an article late last summer that's particularly important to me right now, speaking of my ankle, and it was about ankle mobility. Yeah. So as I start my PT from round 2 here, what are some things that I need to be doing since I definitely want to be walking around normally by the time we get to the PGA merchandise show in late January?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I always tell people physical therapists are amazing. So, you know, when people come to me as a trainer, and they're rehabbing an injury, I'm like, well, what did your physical therapist tell you? Let's start with that too. So step one, listen to your physical therapist, which I know you're doing, correct?
Yes.
Yes. And the other thing is just any type of single leg, you know, when you're working on ankle mobility and then foot, you know, foot stability goes along right with that. So you want that foot to be stable and you want that ankle to be able to move around. So a lot of my clients, especially, you know, over the age of, you know, 45, 50, and men in particular, I have found in my 15 years of training have terrible balance the older they get. Balancing, and they get, well, you know, they get upset because they kind of wobble all over the place. And I'm like, well, that's your ankle's moving, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. So you are getting a little bit of ankle mobility. And then I also see that in junior golfers as well. You know, you get these hypermobile junior golfers that, you know, can touch their toes and external shoulder rotation, their arm goes all the way back, crazy like that. And the mobility they pass, except for when it comes to that ankle mobility and foot stability. So I'll have majority of my, you know, junior golfers and even you like really focus on good lunges. Taking a really good step forward, driving that foot into the ground, holding that foot, keeping it stable, and then you're just driving down. As I mentioned before, that split squat is another, you know, static lunge where you just go up and down. You don't necessarily move with it, but walking lunges for my junior golfer is always a must. And I always tell their parents, like, hey, I know, you know, you want to come see me 3 times a week, but if I can just get you to work on lunges and push-ups, that's another story. But lunges and balancing for me, I always see the biggest bang for your buck when it comes to your ankle and all right. Ground force.
All right. So give me the push-up thing now.
Yes. You know, they'll say like, oh, you know, I need all this fancy equipment and I need, you know, the great workout shorts or workout shirt and good tennis shoes. But, you know, while you're brushing your teeth, you can just do push-ups against the counter before you brush your teeth or after you brush your teeth before you go to bed. But you know, especially like, as I mentioned, women, a lot of, top experts, there's a woman orthopedic surgeon that has witnessed a lot of women in particular with bone density. It just broke her heart. And so she's on this you know, campaign to create awareness that you should be able to do 11 pushups on your toes. And that's what she says, women. And if women should do it, then men should definitely be able to do 11 pushups on your toes. Now, that's not saying go ahead and start doing pushups if you haven't done a pushup in, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. But yes, there on my Instagram page, that I do provide a lot of variations. Wall pushup is fabulous. Like, just put your hands against the wall. I know it looks so corny, but if you do like 20 of those, you'll feel it. I promise you. And then obviously going from the wall, and then I mentioned the counter and just making your way down to a mat and dropping to your knees and then eventually rising up onto your toes. And, you know, I always call them the big girl pushups on your toes, or the big boy pushups on your toes. But yes, if you pushups and lunges, if you're wondering where to start for strength training in particular, those two, you can't go wrong with those. If you have no equipment at home, so now you have no excuses. If you're listening to this, start, you know, doing some lunges, start doing some pushups, and then, you know, go from there.
Courtney, another thing that a lot of us deal with is lower back pain and back stiffness, something that has always plagued me, and I know it's out there with a lot of our listeners as well. What are some exercises that we can do to alleviate that?
Yes. I mean, I would probably say about 85% of my golfers, the reason they come to me, aside from junior golfers, obviously, is lower back. And there's this saying that you'll hear in the training world, in the physical therapy world, that the point of pain is never the source of pain. So people come to me and they're like, my lower back hurts. And I'm like, what are some lower back exercises? And I'm like, well, that's why I mentioned a screen before, that the reason your lower back is hurting is not because of your lower back. And 9 out of 10 times, 8 out of 10 times, it really has to do with tight hips, internal hip rotation, moving the hips around. So with that lower back 90-90, where you're sitting on the ground, or and then your legs, your front leg goes into a 90 degree in front, your right leg, and then you kick your left leg behind you in a 90 degree angle. And there's so many different variations, but just some people are just even holding that 90-90 position is challenging. And then you can kind of wipe, you know, I call it a wiper, where you, you know, move your legs side to side and really work those hip rotator, you know, those rotating hip muscles. Very, very important. So when it comes to lower back, I should go right for the hips, right for the hips. Deep squats, like body weight squats, and just kind of opening up your knees as you go down, and then just taking a moment. Lateral lunges, side lunges, real deep and slow. And that's something I always tell people. If you do a regular exercise really slow, it's a really, actually, most of the time, it's a good mobility warm-up exercise as well. So I use a lot of lateral lunges, or side lunges, they're also called, as far as working on hips.
Courtney, I think everyone listening has the want to regarding getting in better shape and losing weight. Many of us make the same New Year's resolution every year, and by February, that resolution is long forgotten about. What we're a lot of times short on is sustaining the motivation to stick to a program to achieve our goals. What are some tips for us so that we can maintain that motivation in what has become an instant gratification world?
Oh, it's such a million-dollar question and such a great question. And I can answer it probably 100 different ways on 100 different days, depending on, you know, there's so many different things I could say, but I recently just listened to Angela Duckworth. She wrote a book called Grit, G-R-I-T, and I found her 15 years ago in a magazine article before she had like the number one TED Talk on grit and wrote this, you know, New York Times bestselling book. And my business is Grit Golf and, you know, Grit Fitness and Wellness. And she talked about Michael Phelps and, you know, probably the best swimmer in the entire world that we will, you know, when we think swimming, we think Michael Phelps. And, you know, his trainer talked a lot about, there were days he came 6 out of 10 and there were days that he came 7 out of 10, but he just kept coming. And I think in today's society is that we think everything, you know, go big or go home, and you need to be a 10 out of 10 and you need to have sweat dripping off your body and you need to be at your best. And I think that's where we fail. And I think that's where New Year's resolutions fail, is that we set these big elaborate goals and we're going to be, you know, I have a family friend that's like, I'm going to work out every day. not going to work out every day. And then after 2 weeks, I'm like, shoot, I missed 3 out of the last 13 days. Well, that's normal. And I love the Michael Phelps analogy that she used in a recent podcast, Angela Duckworth, where she just said, you know, be a 7 out of 10 and don't be afraid to be that 7 out of 10 on that day. And just know it'll might be better the next day. And, you know, this morning I had a workout at 5 a.m. and I work out live with a lot of my online people. And I still showed up at 5 a.m., but I was up from 12 to 3 with a toddler who just wanted to talk to me. And so I still showed up at 5 a.m.
Wow.
And it was hard though, but my body, you know, you're talking to somebody that's done this for years, just show up. And it wasn't pretty. And my weights were probably 15, 20 pounds lighter than I normally did. But I went out there, the workout took 25 minutes. And I just moved my body. And I'll tell you what, I have never met somebody that says, man, I shouldn't have worked out, or man, I shouldn't have done that. And that's ultimately when that alarm goes off, or when you get home from work and you have to change into your workout clothes. Like, that's the hardest part, is like, oh, do I need to go? Just, I put one foot in front of the other, like I did this morning, and I didn't even think about, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. Oh my gosh, this is gonna be a terrible workout. Oh my gosh, my bed's so comfortable. I just, you know, I got up and my clothes were laid out and I put my clothes on. I just poured my drink like I normally did, and I went out to the gym like I normally did. And it's almost like an autopilot, where that's what ultimately has become for me. And I'm very blessed that, I shouldn't say blessed, I worked really, really hard to get to this point. But for those people that aren't to that point, just keep showing up. I always tell people, just walk into the gym. And if you want to turn around and leave, that's fine. And if you just set these small goals, like, I'm going to walk into Planet Fitness and I'm just going to go on the treadmill for 5 minutes. And you do that 5 days a week. Well, it might be 10 minutes. And you might see that really cool hack squat machine that, you know, someone was doing, and you throw in a couple squats. So if you set those small, super simple, realistic goals that force you just to show up. And some people say, just even put your workout clothes on. Just put them on. Don't even go to the gym, or don't even go for a walk. Just, I'm going to put my workout clothes on every day for a week. You'll see that it just compounds over time into something amazing. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone out to the gym. We just moved into our house in June. I love it. And I have a beautiful gym space in my garage. And there's been so many mornings that I'll go out there and I'll lay on the mat. And then maybe I'll do a couple stretches. And then sometimes I'll come back inside. But it's just that habit of putting on my workout clothes and going out there and then moving my body.
Wow. I love that. Sometimes it's just a little thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting that you say that, Courtney, because, you know, kind of sometimes giving ourselves the latitude. Sometimes for me, if I get into the mindset of where I'm dreading having to do something, well, you know, for exercise or anything, I mean, I think we have to give ourselves the latitude every once in a while. I mean, we hear it so often in with diets, right? You have your cheat day or something along those lines. But just to do one or two things, you know, one of the things that kind of got me back into the gym prior to all this surgery stuff was to say, all right, I'm going to do a couple of things. And if I can do it for 10 minutes, that's good enough. I'll do 3 sets of this, 3 sets of that, and then I'll be good. And I would build on that over time. So it was just like, you know, hey, I'm just going to run in here quick 10, quick 15. And I'm out. That sort of changed my mindset for what I was doing. And it helped reset myself so that I kind of gave myself the latitude. It's just going to be quick. No worries. In and out. And then it built on itself and it made things better. I think what you're saying about just put your workout clothes on, just go in and lay on the mat and do some stretches. Hey, just do a couple of these things. And then that sort of gives us a better mindset for what we're doing.
Yes, no, absolutely. And you've hit it spot on. And I think if more people will realize that, even if you're, I mean, I probably was a 3 out of 10 this morning. But if you keep showing up, even on those 3 out of 10 days, they do compound over time. And that's ultimately what she said. She goes, if you add that up over 365 days, the 3 plus the 7 plus the 10, like, and it's just a magical number if you just keep showing up.
Well, and that's the thing. And I love that you just said that there at the end, just keep showing up, right? And that perseverance, that persistence, that if you keep showing up, and to your point, if you add up the 10s and the 15s, and occasionally you do the 20s or 30s, and then you do a couple of 10s and 15s. But when you add it all together, that makes a huge difference. That's better than the zero. That's the one thing I was trying to get into my head. Well, you know what? If I just do 10, it may only be 10, but it's better than the zero I would have done.
Yeah. I think ultimately that's what we do. And I don't know, Chris, if you've been there before, but it's something that I'm more aware of the longer I've been doing this as a job, is that I think our biggest mistake is that we just beat ourselves up. Man, I'm so bad. I mean, look at that person over there. They're doing so much better than me. And then you throw your hands up and you say, what's the point? And you walk away. And it's that grace. And then you start stressing yourself out. And I can't even tell you the research where it comes, you know, with stress and fight or flight and what it does to your body on the inside and how you just slowly spiral outwards just because you missed one workout.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talk on this show an awful lot, Courtney, about all the negative self-talk we do when we're out on the golf course and how, you know, we belittle ourselves. Like, I stink. And, you know, all that sort of stuff, right? I mean, you know, the root thing that for me golf should be about is you're outdoors in nature, you're in a beautiful setting, you're with your family or your friends, and you should be having a good time. That's what it's supposed to be about. I mean, you alluded to it earlier, but, you know, none of us are out on the PGA Tour or the LPGA Tour. Golf is supposed to be recreational and fun, and we do so much negative self-talking that it's anything but that. We get down on ourselves, we don't want to come back and play and all that sort of thing until the golf gods do us a solid by letting us birdie the 18th hole. That brings us back. But, you know, even in the world of exercise, I think we do the same thing. To your point, we start comparing ourselves to somebody else, we get down on ourselves, and then it ruins the whole thing. It's so unfortunate what our mindsets do to ourselves.
Absolutely. And I love that you said we're outdoors and we're enjoying it. And, you know, there's a lot of research on a lot of things, and everyone has something to say about what you eat and how to do this on the golf course, and, you know, all the teaching in the world. But, you know, I don't like to speak in facts, but there is a fact out there, a scientific fact, that it's impossible to be stressed and grateful at the same time. And it's something I tell all my clients, like, you cannot be stressed out and grateful. Like, so if you practice gratitude, and, you know, I keep a gratitude journal every day, very life-changing habit for me in the wellness world. But one of the things that always hits my gratitude journal is that I have an able and moving body. Like, and that helps my workouts too, where I was like, I'm able to go out there and move my body, where a lot of people aren't. And it's just so funny when I'm out there in there working out, or if I'm going for a walk and it's a beautiful day, or you're out there golfing, like, your mindset changes and stress changes and the hormones change and your body is like, just says a big old thank you. And guess what? Your stress disappears. So if we can come into things with more gratitude and more appreciation for where you're at and what you're actually capable of. I'm not lecturing you, Chris, right now on your ankle, I swear.
Yes, you are. Don't lie. Yes, you are.
No, but I mean, you were not alone. There's one person out, or there's a person out there that's going, man, I beat myself up about this and I beat myself up about that. But if you sit down and you're like, I have a, you know, in your case, I have a great physical therapist. And, you know, with me, I've had sciatic issues twice in the last 10 years, but my upper body got so much stronger because I wasn't able to do lower body as much. And I was like, man, I'm so thankful. And I learned so much about sciatic, and I went to a great chiropractor, and I learned so much. You know, there's so much gratitude, even though it's a setback, and we all have setbacks. There's not a person out there that hasn't hit a bad shot, who hasn't missed a workout, who hasn't been injured, who hasn't had a surgery, who hasn't had a fight with a spouse or, you know, a family member. And, you know, if you put all your focus on that, you just go into that deep, dark hole instead of coming out with more gratitude and more appreciation for movement, which causes you to move more.
I love the gratitude part, right? I get a healthy dose of vitamin G every morning, really sets your mindset up to have a great day. Right. As opposed to waking up and thinking about all the things that you dread and why this is going to be a bad day and all those sorts of things. If we flip that mindset and give ourselves a healthy dose of vitamin G, I think it changes the tone right then.
Ooh, vitamin. Can I use that I'm going to start using that in my training. That is a perfect tagline. Vitamin G. Did you come up with that all?
I did not. I can't. I've seen that in some other podcasts that I listen to, but yes, vitamin G. Feel free to use it.
I love it. I love it.
Courtney, a couple other things before I let you go. If I walked into the Strano Golf Academy with my dad bod and I said, look, my goal is to get in better shape. Maybe some of our listeners out there also, you know, we want to lower it, maybe an A1C or our cholesterol is too high, or I want to drop 20 pounds or I want to recapture 20 yards. And, you know, we've got all these things that we want. Is it too much? Are all those goals too many things? Do we need to narrow our focus so that we can kind of mark things off, if you will, like a checklist? Okay, got that one. All right, what's my next thing? Or is it good to have a lot of goals? How do you look at it? Do you like narrow scope or wider scope?
I like both. I mean, just coming in and having goals is a great thing. So usually I'll tackle the most burning issue. Like if you have an injury, well, let's get you out of pain first. If you come to me and you're, you know, healthy and moving and you're like, I need to hit the ball farther than this, you know, jerk I'm going on, you know, a trip with in 3 months, then, you know, our training is going to be a little bit different. We're going to focus more on power. So I like both broad and narrow goals. And I think having goals is great. But, you know, I think if you just really focus, like I told you, on the big picture of like showing up, putting one foot in front of the other and just moving your body in some way, shape or form, it just kind of all of a sudden you look up and you're like, man, I've lost some weight, or, oh, I'm actually hitting the ball farther too now. So I think that if you appreciate and have those smaller goals along the way, which I guess would make it more broad, it helps you kind of capture that narrow one, which is very specific. Like, I need to lose 20 pounds. Like, I want the dad bod to go in the next, you know, 6 months. But if you focus on the, I really would like to increase my deadlift weight by 10 pounds. Well, we can do that in 30 days. And then increasing your deadlift by 10 pounds, well, that's getting you closer to losing the dad bod and so forth. So, you know, having those small goals, which are, you know, the broad, you know, generalized goals, will help you get to that narrow one. So I always go after the burning one first, which is pain. We got to get you out of pain. And alongside with that, I can go on a whole other soapbox lecture, but like sleep's very important too. Obviously I didn't get much last night, but it's just such a low hanging fruit. I always say, you know, one, getting you out of pain, not necessarily low hanging, but if you focus on sleep and, you know, hydrating, like those are great places to start, and you'll see some changes in that dad bod by focusing on going to bed and putting your phone up and, you know, turning off the TV 30 minutes early.
Courtney, as we look ahead a few months to the PGA Merchandise Show, are you going to be there and are we going to get to see you up on the main stage?
That's the plan. You know, I have a, you know, daughter in travel volleyball and a son that's going to be playing T-ball and a husband that coaches high school baseball. So we start all that in January. So my goal is to always be there, but you know, family for me, it will always be first and foremost. So my husband and my kids are everything. So that's one thing I hope everyone knows about me, is that I love being a wife and I really do love being a mom, but I really do hope to make it to the PGA Show and see you, you know, cruising through there on your ankle.
Courtney, before I let you go, remind our listeners again how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're out there doing, whether they're following you online or it's over social media.
Yes, absolutely. So I Instagram, Courtney, you mentioned it before, Courtney_Weber with 1B and then an underscore at the end. But recently started a Facebook group called The Wellness Life, where I've been just posting different podcasts. You know, I'm a big podcast listener, and books and recipes and just different tips. You know, the other day I posted, hey, I'm starting an at-home gym. What are three things I should have in my gym before I get started? So that's on Facebook and it's called The Wellness Life. And then Courtney Weber is in the name as well. So that's another great place to find me.
Courtney, you're awesome. It's always so much fun to get to spend some time with you. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show.
As always, thanks for having me, Chris. Show is wonderful. I heard John, Mr. Cook, say before he got off that you prepare so well for your guests and you really do an excellent job.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
Yes, thank you.
Take care, Courtney. All the best to you and your family. I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thanks, Chris.
See you, Courtney. That is a great Courtney Weber, folks. They simply don't come any better than her. You can give her a follow on Instagram again. Courtney_Weber_ or on Twitter at Courtney MAM Fit. And like she just said, The Wellness Life on Facebook. Got to check out that page. Look, folks, she's going to help make you healthier and feel more energized. And the bottom line after that is just to feel more positive about yourself. That's what I loved, how she weaves that into everything, right? We talk about on the show all the time, feeling better about yourself, more positive, less negative self-talk when we're out on the golf course or anywhere in life. And that vitamin G, look, be grateful, right? There's so many things that we all have an ability to be grateful for. I love that she's doing a grateful diary to do every morning or whenever it comes up in her day. I do it in the morning. I try to think when I first wake up, I try to think about all the things that I'm grateful for, that I'm happy about, so that it can launch my day in the right way, right? We talk about so many times, gee, I've got the Sunday dreads, or boy, today's going to be a terrible day. Well, you know what? If you tell yourself that, guess what? It's going to be. If you flip that over and you're more grateful and you're happy and you think about the things every day that you are happy about and grateful for that are in your life, family, friends, things that you've accomplished, things that, you know, maybe you're looking out for, you know, in the future, hey, I got this buddy's trip coming up. It's only 31 days away. It's only 28 days away. Or, hey, I get to go play this golf course. Or, hey, I just get to go play golf and be outside and be with my friends. And don't focus on the score and all that kind of stuff. Just go have fun. Think about those things that you're grateful for. I promise you it's going to make a difference in how you get your day going and how you get your day started. But look, getting back to Courtney, she's just one of the most wonderful people that you get to meet in life. She's down there with Rob. And again, look, when we talk about a great combination for things that are going to make everything better, boy, if you're doing your exercise and your workout and you're getting your routine and your diet and all that stuff from Courtney, then you're going to talk to Rob about your golf swing and your golf game. Boy, you marry those two things together and you're going to be playing so much better. Your friends are going to be jealous. You're like, where the heck did you get all this from? Courtney's going to help you get a little extra distance. Rob's going to help dial in your accuracy and your mindset. All of that together, fantastic. Unstoppable if you put those two together. So my thanks to Courtney for being such a wonderful friend and guest. We'll try to get her back on the show as we head towards the PGA Merchandise Show. Hopefully I'll get to see her there. And of course, my Goomba Rob, you know, he's on periodically. So we'll catch up with him again before too long as well. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on this edition of Next on the Tee. My sincere thanks again go out to John Cook and Courtney Weber for joining me this week. Now, scheduled to join me next week are a bunch of great friends. 2003 PGA champion Sean McKeel will be back, followed by two-thirds of the trio that could be known as two Hoosiers and a Hong. You've heard me reference them several times throughout the years. Top juniors coach James Hong and top instructor Scott Monroe will join me. Our good friend Jeff Smith would round out that trio. I'm hoping to see a live performance from those three guys at the PGA Show in January. So, folks, it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you'll be back here with us to be a part of it. I want to thank our friends again over at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review for hosting this show on their site. Folks, for coverage of everything going on in Western Pennsylvania, including your favorite sports, just go to triblive.com. You can find this show by then clicking on the sports section tab, and you'll see the most recent episode on the homepage of the sports section right there front and center for you. Or you can click on sports and then you'll see podcast network. Click on that. You'll see the Next on the T logo. Click on that. And then many of the most recent episodes from this season are right there for you as well. But you can also find this show pretty much anywhere you get your podcast content. We're out there on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, golfnewsnet.com as well. But folks, as always, I want to end the show by thanking you for being the greatest supporters in the history of podcasts. There are none better anywhere. I thank you so very much. Until next time, hit them straight, my friends.
Thanks for joining Chris again this week on Next on the Tee. We hope you enjoyed the conversations as much as we did. Please share the show with your golf buddies and be sure to follow it on TribLive or your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Thanks for pressing play and being part of the journey. We'll see you next week, right here where the best minds in golf share their stories.